Welcome to A Few Goldilocks Bears Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Hello, I am Vincent Cloud.
I'm John Nemeth.
And I'm David Lauer.
And a deja vu is we're going back to talk about an old topic that we've talked about this topic before, but we've got a new spin on it. Something else about it we got to talk about.
Yeah, the segment is called the Deja Fuse. I will go, and it's about eavesdropping. Dave, I believe you hated this. So in eavesdropping, in comedies, it's so hilarious when, like, a character is outside the door and they're listening to their parents, and the dad's like, "So tonight I shall die." And they're like, "Oh my God, he's going to die." And they run off crying. And he's like, finishes his sentence, "My hair." You know, it's like, it's so stupid. But one of the favorite shows in recent years of people, which garnered all these awards, was Frasier. I went back and I'm like, every episode is a misunderstanding by eavesdropping on another character. Every fucking episode. It was crazy. Yeah.
Oh, I did not remember that. I haven't watched that show for so long.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is it that clever when they're using that that lame-o plot device? That's crazy. Yeah. That's all I have. You guys could add anything. Dave, you watch Frasier, right? You know,
I
Niles.
But I watched it back when I was like 15 years old, and it was like a rerun on TV. Like, but it is like a good device for like a sitcom. I don't know. Like, a lot of times you just have to have something goofy like that. Where like Seinfeld, it was just like Jerry picking out something about this girl he went on a date with. Like, oh, she has man hands, or she wears the same dress, or she eats her peas weird. Or it was just like him nitpicking something about a person and then just writing a whole storyline up based off of that one weird thing.
I think that that's way more work to do that than to rely on the same old tropes of mishearing someone in the other room. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, that seems like something you can do once or twice maybe, but it shouldn't be like the backbone of your premises.
And these characters in Frasier are supposed to be so intelligent, you know?
And I can't think of specific examples now, but I feel like that happens all the time in shows where it's just someone like overhearing, but they miss the critical piece, or it just doesn't sound like it should. And like, if they just talk to each other for 3 seconds, they could clear it up, but they don't.
And in drama, they always hear the full sentence because they could use that as, against the other character, very soap opera-esque, you know? They'll never mishear something and then it'll get goofy. That never happens in a drama. All right. Should we get the show started? Go ahead, Dave. I believe you have some love for us. Sick.
Yeah. Something I love, it's just like a weird thing, but it's just like I love secret doors, or like trap doors, or like secret spaces. There's like different versions of it, but like my neighbor has like an underground bunker. And they just have like a, you know, the cellar door, like, and it's outside, detached from their house. And there's just a giant steel door. And it looks like something from that, the movie Blast from the Past, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like, I love those, like, kind of secret trap doors because I'm so fascinated. I'm like, oh, I really want to go down there. Like, what's behind that? And, like, I also love, like, cellar doors that are, like, built into the floor. Like, where you could put a rug over it and you don't even know it's there, and then you pull back the rug and then there's a handle and you pop it open and you can go down into the secret cellar. I rented a house in Eau Claire. It was off of Birch Street. And it had this creepy cellar that you'd go into the pantry and it was dirty and gross, but like we found like a TV Guide magazine from like 1979, and it's like Bob Newhart and like WKRP in Cincinnati and all these like old shows that are in the TV Guide, and you're like, it's like a time capsule. It was so cool. And I really want to, like, in my own house, I want to build like a secret room or something where you have like the bookshelf and you like pull a book on it, and then like all of a sudden the shelf will slide and then you can go back and you got like a little man cave back there or something. I don't know. Like this type of stuff, I think it would be so cool. I don't think I'd ever be able to afford to like build something like that in my house, but I do somehow want to like put some bookshelves in front of a closet, and then you move the shelf and then you just go into a closet. It's like, yeah, I put my winter clothes back there during the summer, just something stupid like that.
So I actually have an opportunity to do something like that. We're doing some home renovation, and our house has a chimney that's no longer in use, because like modern furnaces and water heaters just like go out like a PVC pipe out of the side of your basement rather than going up the chimney anymore. So we had our chimney removed, so now we have this like empty cavity in the middle of our house, and it's like, ooh, what do we want to do? Like, should we build like a dumb waiter where, like have a thing on the pulley that you can pull stuff up to the between the basement and the first floor? Or I was angling, should we have like a safe in the wall, and then you have the painting in front of it and you can move the painting and then open the safe. So
Yeah, like
figure out what we want to do there.
Or you can just stand in the chimney and then put a portrait with the eyes out.
Oh
Just stare at your guests.
yeah. Yes.
Like, man, where's John then? I'm just sitting
And
here.
it has to have like the eyes that like you like move the panel so then the eyes become open and then you stick your eyes up next to them.
Oh man. So that's in Scream 3, the whole third act is in this old Hollywood mansion and it has trap doors. You could go behind the mirrors and stuff, and then you find this hidden screening room with like a big silver screen and stuff. And I liked it, but everyone else was like, oh, it's like Scooby-Doo, it's lame. It's exactly the movie that the Scream 1 movie would make fun of. I'm like, I guess. I don't know. They didn't though. They didn't make fun of hidden passages and stuff. So I kind of liked it. Yeah. Oh, so some shows though have hidden stuff in their buildings, and it's just part of the plot. Like Twin Peaks, Only Murders in the Building. They totally rely on that, and they're like, oh, remember the secret passageway from season one? Well, let's use it again. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
I love the trope where they trigger them accidentally. So, like there's two people in the room and like one person like leans up against the bookcase and all of a sudden like spins around and they get pulled into another room and like the first person is like talking to them and they're not there anymore, and that's always fun.
Put the candle back.
You remember on the TV show Lost, where they find like the hatch in the ground and they're like trying to break into it, and they spend like 6 or 7 episodes trying to break into this hatch, and then they finally break it open, and then that's the end of the season. So then like season two starts, and it starts with like this guy just like living his life. He's making breakfast, he's just like putting on a record on an exercise bike. Just like inconspicuous. And then all of a sudden, you realize that he is in that hatch and he was behind the secret, like the secret door. And you're like, oh, there's a guy living down there. And he's living like just kind of seems like a normal life in this bunker. I don't know. Like that was like a secret door thing that I really loved. And I also like Vince, what you were saying about like people spying on stuff. Like there's always like TikToks of people in Airbnbs and they rent an Airbnb and they're like, I was walking around the outside of a house and there's a window. But then when you're on the inside of the house, the window doesn't go to anything. And it seems like behind this wall, there should be a room, but we can't access it. And then they're like, there's a shelf here. They're like, I'm trying to. And like, people will be like trying to figure out the way to get into the secret room that's like blocked off. And they're like, why is it blocked off? And people, it's like an Airbnb. So people are like super creeped out.
Yeah,
They're
that's
worried
super
about their
creepy.
privacy. Yeah, and they like, and sometimes they're like trying to snoop around and look at stuff and trying to like, hey, is this mirror here? Is it double-sided? Is there someone behind this? And I don't know. There's definitely weird, creepy things, and I'm sure there's plenty of stories about like weird stuff like that and Airbnbs. That's another reason why I don't like Airbnbs.
One of many reasons. Yeah, but yeah, that's the main reason my wife would never stay at one.
So yeah, it's all voyeuristic to me. Like the whole idea, unless you're just using it to s stash away something like a safe, that's better. I have no problems with that. Did you guys hear about the Japanese woman, or no, was it a man, woman? I think it was a man. He was like, all my stuff, like food disappeared. I didn't eat that. And he would just be wondering for like, I don't know how long he lived there, 6 months or something like that. And eventually they find this hidden compartment where a woman's been living in the walls and like opening it up when he's out and like eating his food and shit like that. Horrible.
You just
That freaks me
described
out.
the plot of the movie Parasite.
No, spoilers. Spoiler
Spoiler
alert.
alert.
Oh, God. Yeah. But that's actually a very common horror. Well, now it's getting very common horror trope of like something living in the walls. So it's been done enough nowadays where it's kind of common. Yeah.
Yeah, not a fan of a person living in the walls of my house, so not gonna
Not
do
even your
that
wife. It's just like, what? We
one.
are on a fight. I'm going into the walls. You're like, come on. Don't be that way, baby. Right. Segue challenge.
Well, where does this door here that we found on the floor lead to? Oh, the next topic, perhaps? A topic with a telephone room in it. I hate when people insist on doing business over the phone instead of by email. This has happened to me as I'm doing this house renovation stuff. That like I want to like so like the main example that triggered me to do this was like I'm buying a couple appliances and I like found the salesperson's email address on the appliance store website and I emailed him like all the specific like here's the model number, here's the date I need it by, here's my phone, my address, everything you need to know, like can you make this happen? And he like for whatever reason, he insists on calling, and I'm like not answering because I sent him the email with everything he needs to know, and all he leaves a message just call me back as soon as you can. And like, so I eventually call him back, and like he insists on me like telling him all this same information over the phone, only it's way more complicated because instead of just reading it, I have to like spell things out and. It was just obnoxious, and he ended up like then asking me for my email address over the phone, even though I had already emailed him and getting it wrong. So he like sent the quote to the wrong address, and I never got it. It was just like super annoying, but it's just there's certain things that are better over the phone. Like if you know you're gonna have like okay, this will be like a back and forth thing that, I know there's going to be follow up, then it makes sense to just get on the phone and hash it out. But for the most part, like if it's just like I need to get this dump of information to you, email is so much more efficient. It's just here's the text. You can copy and paste it. You can print it out if that's something you're into. Like, just like getting, like even telling like an address over the phone is just annoying compared to email. Like, even though if it's just like a short thing, and I don't know if I'm being ageist or like if it's the older generation who prefers the voice to voice and communicating that way, but it just seems very inefficient at times and prone to error.
Yeah, I think I mentioned doing business over the phone or something like that. Either talking to someone or having to press those buttons as being like very annoying. And how Excel, like if you're late on a payment ever, you can't pay online. You have to call them on the phone. And that seems to me like they're like, yeah, we know people don't like this, but that's your punishment. You have to be on this long ass phone waiting for stuff. And just in general, I prefer to text or to email someone over talking over the phone because I don't know, just the voice by itself. I don't know. I just don't care for it. And sometimes you can't understand them where it's like plain text on an email. Yeah, for sure. I'm totally with you, John. What do you gotta say, Dave?
This was a topic that I was actually going to use for myself. And yeah, it, like I had it written down as like I love conversing via text message or email. I've had a few things over the last like 5 years. Anytime I want to do something like with a business, whether it was insurance, like my home insurance or car insurance, I have their email and I just send them an email. I'm like, "Hey, I want to add this onto my policy," and they'll just send me like, "Oh, here's a form. Fill this out. Email it back." It's like, boom. It's way easier than like, "Oh, I'm going to call you on the phone. Okay, send me something in the mail, or I'll go and pick it up at your office, and then I'll fill it out, and then I'll mail it back to you." And it's like I can complete like business transactions super easy. When I bought my house and I got a loan, the loan place that I was working through was like in Texas somewhere, like 10 hours away, but it didn't matter because I just did everything over email basically. I think I had like one or two phone calls with them. They were super short, just like a minute or two. He's like, "Okay, I'll send you everything over the email." And it was just like back and forth. It was so easy. And it was like he would email me something. And I would be on my phone, I'd be at work, and I would just type up the answer to it. I would hit send, and then 2 minutes later, he'd send a reply, and it was like, "Okay, we're done, problem solved." And it was like this obstacle that could have been phone tag, and like, "I can't make this phone call right now because I'm at work, but I can get on my phone and I can type a few things real quick and hit send." It was so much easier. There are a few times where people want to do email conversations where it does need to be a phone call, though. When there's like troubleshooting and someone has like a question, like at work today, someone wanted to know, like, how do we do this procedure? And at our hospital, we do it this way, but what is your procedure? And it's like there's so much nuance to it. Like, if I just have a phone call, like, part of it is like you could have phrased your question more specifically and not had such a broad question. Because, like, with such a broad question, like the response could be literally like 20 pages of how we do certain procedures. Like, what's the specific thing you need to know? So, like, I don't know. Like, if you're good at it, an email is awesome. But if you're like a poor at communicating, then it's like you almost need to do it over the phone because then you can like claw and scratch like the
Yeah,
info out of the person.
that's a really good point. Yeah, like, all right, I need to like spend time with you to even understand the question you're trying to ask me.
I think even with friends, though, talking friendly about things and making plans or whatever, I still prefer text. I don't know. I've always felt really kind of nervous on the phone when it comes to anything. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think like planning something, especially with like if you get like a group text message of like, hey, what are we gonna like Saturday night? What time is everyone available? Where do you want to meet? And everybody can just send their thing. Like, and it's super easy. And you can always refer back, like, it's set in stone. Like, this is, or reply to this. Like, you can look at the exact words that they said. So if later somebody's like, oh, I didn't say that, I'd be like, oh, here's the receipt right here. You said that.
Ooh, possibly future topic, just group text, especially if you're doing something and your phone keeps going off and you check it and you're like, oh, Jordan sent some stupid shit. Oh, thanks again, Jordan. You know, this is like, why did I have to get notified for that? You know, maybe you're not in that conversation at the time. And then you have to read all that you missed. Oh, gosh.
I
Yeah,
agree.
that can
Jordan
definitely be its
totally,
whole topic.
Jordan ruined that Facebook Messenger group with all of his bad posts.
Random gifs. You're like, Jordan, let's stay on topic, please. Yeah, anything else or segue challenge?
Well, actually, can we follow up with this on the phone and I'll give you the segue there.
All right. Okay, so I want to do my maybe indifference. I don't. Okay, so yeah, I'll just go with indifference. I might change it to ambivalence, but it's about people who boast about their charity work. This came from a conversation I was having with my mom, and she's like, "Oh, that fucking Bono. He always has to say, 'Oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that.'" And to me, I'm like, "Well, I don't care." Like he's feeding his ego, but it's doing good, and I doubt the people that he's helping care either. You know, I assume, I don't know. When I think of like people who take selfies while they're helping some unhoused person, I guess I would have to put myself in the unhoused shoes to see if you care. You know, like am I just an
Prop.
object or something? Yeah, a photo op or something. I'm a human being actually, but they're still helping you out. And so anyone who says like, "Oh, I go to volunteer at a soup kitchen like every month or something like that," and you could tell they're just like, "Oh, feed me adulation and stuff like that." It's still good work. I think they're doing good things. So yeah, I just wasn't sure how you guys feel about it. So I'm kind of curious. What do you guys say about people who boast about their charity work?
Yeah, I think it can come off as obnoxious for the person, like okay, he's at it again or whatever. But yeah, like you raise a good point. Like for the the charity itself would want the attention. So like, oh yeah, if that's something that Bono is giving to that. That's a good cause that maybe I should consider giving to also, that like the charity would like the attention, I would think. From an individual basis, like if I was panhandling on the street, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, take a picture of me just giving the money or whatever. If that's what you got to do, fine.
But then I see your picture on like a TikTok. I'm like, oh, John, no.
Yeah,
He was too prideful, that John.
that's right.
What do you say, Dave? Haven't you ever gotten your blood boiled when you see Angelina Jolie saying like, "Oh, I adopt all these kids," or like, "I'm giving to this village," and then she takes a picture of her Prada bag, like.
Like it's definitely weird when it's, I don't know, there's like a, it's like one of those things you gotta like, you know it when you see it, because like you gotta be tasteful about that stuff, because you can come off as just kind of like, you're not promoting the charitable good thing you did, you're just like promoting yourself as a good person. There was a like just last week, I think there was a viral video of Meghan Markle, who's married to Prince Harry,
Ah.
and she did this video, and like there's a lot of backlash to it because, well, she met some survivor of like the Palisades fire, and their home was destroyed, and their favorite like T-shirt or something that was signed by their favorite musician was burnt in the fire. And Meghan Markle's like, "So I got all these shirts from this artist, and I got them all signed, and I gave them to this teenage girl, and she was so happy to get this gift." And but like it was weird because like first off, like her whole house burnt down, like a signed T-shirt from Taylor Swift is that's not helping her. She doesn't have a house. The whole community burnt down, so that was kind of weird. But it was like Meghan Markle was kind of making it about herself, when it was like this would mean more if like the kid was saying like, "Hey, like this Meghan Markle did this for me, and I'm so grateful she did it." But like a small, it's. You're not promoting a charity. You're just promoting like the personal thing you did. And you guys were kind of talking about that. Like if you're talking about like, hey, this, the American Red Cross does all these good things, like let's donate money to them. Like that I get because you're trying to raise money or for a certain cause. But when you're just like patting yourself on the back of something you did, then it's just kind of, it just comes across as like, oh, okay. I just want to roll my eyes at you.
But some people giving does feel good, like some people are like, I enjoy doing good for other people. So yeah, it's so weird. Like sh what, like if I all of a sudden I'm like, hey man, this is Vince Cloud coming from fucking, I don't know, Palestine or something, and I'm helping these people. Would you say, Vince, fuck off, or would you be like, oh, good job, Vince? So it depends on the attitude you're saying, or what?
No, it depends on if it's something that you can replicate. Because if you are like being like, hey, this is how you can help someone else, and like if you do this or this, then like give me steps where I'm like, okay, I can get involved and I can help out, then I'm for it. But like if you're just like, hey, I helped all these people because I'm great, and my name is Jake Paul, and I do all these great things, like and subscribe, and it's just like, well, I can't. Like, I don't have a private jet to fly over there and to hand out meals to these people. Like, I can't replicate this. So, like, yeah, I think you got to be able to actually like help other people help this cause and like give them a tangible way that they can help out.
Jake Paul, I was gonna say, like, does he do charity stuff? But before, bef but I just remembered, like, isn't he like a big advocate for MMA and UFC fighters getting paid more? Right? Like, isn't that kind of like his whole thing? Where it's like, that's why I'm boxing Nate Diaz and Woodley, because yeah, they're UFC stars, but they were paid peanuts. Now I'm giving them the chance to, sure, I'm promoting myself, but I'm also doing good for fighters. Oh, one more thing though, I do have to add. I remember when Justin Bieber put out this thing where he's like, no one has done more charitable hospital visits than me. And everyone was like, oh yeah, good job. And then some research was done. Turns out, no, it's not him. Even though I think he made like, I don't know, 170 visits. People were like, no, there's actually someone who's done twice as much. And that was John Cena.
I was gonna guess that, yeah, because like all the Make-A-Wish kids want him, it seems like.
Oh man. What weird taste they have. Well, they're probably all dying. Bad taste. Dying taste for John Cena. And I only say that because I watched the show WWE, and I never cared for Cena personally, but whatever.
But yeah, it's funny you bring
Yeah.
this up. I was just talking about this with this child that I bought a sandwich for, and
Yeah. No, you got to post your selfie of that with that child, right? And you taking a
Obviously.
bite. Be great. All right, well, that's I think that's the show. We outro again? Oh my gosh. All right, let's get this over with. You know what? That's the show. Like, subscribe, comment if you're on YouTube, and go to a few goldilockbears.com. I was Vincent Cloud.
And from that website, you can figure out where you want to listen or watch us. I was John Nimitz.
And I was David Lauer. Thanks for listening.